This is the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new week of broadcasts on the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us not only today, but every day this week as we continue our tradition of bringing you beautiful Christian music and inspiring preaching and teaching from the Word of God as preached by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. Today, continuing our verse-by-verse study of the book of Acts in chapter 10. But right now, let's hear I Will Sing the Wondrous Story, and then Dr. Green.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. How he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing.
And now, here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Lead us, our Father, as we open thy word to study today. Honor thy word, the precious name of Jesus, and save souls, our Father, especially that precious church member who is a church member, but they've never been born again. Save them by thy grace through the blood of Jesus. Amen. In Acts 10, verse 1, we learn that there was a man, Cornelius. He was a man in Caesarea called Cornelius, and he was a centurion. He was of the Italian band. Now, this man was a good man, a devout man, and he feared God, and he gave alms, and he prayed, but he wasn't saved. And God instructed him to send to Joppa and get Simon Peter. Now, when a person is sincerely seeking the truth, God will make it possible for that person to know the truth. Now, I say this very humbly. God can't help some people because some people have their minds made up and they refuse to see the light. They don't want to be helped. They are married to a religion and they refuse to hear the Word of God. They believe their doctrine and they refuse to believe what the book says. Now, in chapter 11 and verse 14, who shall tell thee words, W-O-R-D-S, whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Now, the first thing that Peter told Cornelius, God is no respecter of persons. That's in verse 34. The second thing that Peter told him, they crucified Jesus, they hanged him on a tree. Now, the third thing that I want you to see today is in Acts 10 and verse 40, and we'll continue the study of salvation through the Word. In other words, apart from the Word of God, there is no salvation. People who have not heard the gospel cannot be saved. No person can be saved until they hear the Word of God. So listen, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. God raised up Jesus the third day and showed him openly. Now, beloved, in this day and hour of liberalism, modernism, and all the other isms that we have in this land and around the world, in this day when men deny everything that the fundamental truths declare, it is still a divine imperative to believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus if you hope to be saved. Now, I know that some of you are saying, Brother Green, you've just made a very bold statement. You've made a very dogmatic statement. Yes, I made a very bold statement. I made a very dogmatic statement. And if I had not had Scripture to back it up, I wouldn't have made it. I repeat, it is a divine imperative that you believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus, or you can't be saved. Now, that's part of the gospel. First, let me read 1 Corinthians 15, 1, 2, and 3. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved. The gospel saves. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, lest you believe in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all that Christ, or that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and was seen of Cephas. Now, what did I just read you in Acts 10, verse 40? And him God raised up from the dead, and showed him openly. Now, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, according to the Scriptures. Not according to anybody, but according to the Scriptures. Not according to any religion, any preacher, any evangelist, but according to the Scriptures. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15:12, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Read on. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. Our preaching is empty and vain. Listen, beloved, listen. My preaching is foolishness if Jesus did not rise again bodily. If he did not come back from the grave bodily, then my preaching is foolishness. It's vain. It's empty. That's what the Bible says. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Now, there's no such thing as saving faith. We're saved by God's grace through faith. There is no such thing as faith that brings salvation apart from the bodily resurrection of Jesus. Read on. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not, if there be, if so be, the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are still in your sins. So you see, according to the Word of God, there is no salvation, no redemption. There is no hope apart from the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Read on. And listen, then they also are which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Everybody that's died is perished if there be no resurrection. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came resurrection from the dead. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Hallelujah. Now, beloved, I've read that scripture to prove to you from the Word of God that it is a divine imperative to believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus or burn in hell. You can't go to heaven if you do not believe that Jesus rose again bodily. Now let's get back to the scripture here in Acts and see what we have. They hanged him on a tree. First of all, God is no respecter of persons. In the second place, they slew Jesus. They hanged him on a tree. In the third place, God raised him from the dead and showed him, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Now, they ate with him. They saw him. Peter said, we ate with him and we saw him after he rose. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. Now listen, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, there is no other name under heaven given among men. There is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must, and when God says must, God means must, whereby we must be saved. Now, listen. And to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Whosoever believeth in Jesus shall receive remission of sins. Now, do you want to be forgiven sin? Do you want your sins forgiven? Do you want to be saved? Do you want to be saved? Now, God said, Cornelius, you send and get Simon Peter, and he'll give you words, W-O-R-D-S, words, whereby you and all your house will be saved. And so Peter gave him the words. God is no respecter of persons. They slew Jesus. They hanged him on a tree. God raised him and showed him openly. God raised him the third day and showed him openly. And then they that believe to him give all the prophets witness. Through his name, whosoever believeth shall receive remission of sins. Now listen, I'm not sarcastic. I want you to hear me and hear me well. I've never conducted a prayer meeting. I have never spoken anywhere that I didn't give an invitation. I always give an invitation. I always invite people to come up and bow their knees at the front bench or at an altar. Some churches have an altar, some don't. I mean, they use the front bench and some use the prayer room. But I've never preached that I've never conducted a prayer meeting that I did not give an altar call. I've always given an invitation when I speak. I don't care, Sunday school class or what have you. Now, I believe in coming forward. I believe in getting on your knees. Now, that's what I believe in. But I want to show you right here that it is not coming forward. It is not getting on your knees. It is not weeping and moaning. And I like to hear people weep over their sins. Now you say, preacher, you're not consistent. Oh, yes, I am. Oh, yes, I am. It does me good to cry occasionally. Now, I never shout and wave my arms. Some people do, and that's all right. I'm not criticizing you. Help yourself. Help yourself. But when I get happy, I cry. When I get burdened, I cry. And it does me good. It relieves me to weep and shed tears. And I rejoice in shedding tears. And I get rid of burdens by shedding tears. So I'm not criticizing you for shouting, but I'm saying this. Cornelius was not invited to come forward and join the church. And they had a church then. Oh, yes, the church was. Peter didn't say, now, how many of you folks will come forward and give me your hand and unite with us? He didn't say that. He didn't say, how many of you folks will come forward and let me baptize you in the name of Jesus? He didn't say that. He didn't say that. The Bible says in Acts 10:44, while Peter yet spake these words, he didn't get through with his sermon. I've been preaching 32 years in meetings, been on the radio 27 years, a little over 27 years every day, but I've been in meetings 32 years. Now, I don't suppose there have been over a half a dozen people to come forward before I finished preaching in all my ministry. I've had a few, I'll say a half a dozen, to come forward, get up and just come on down and say, I've got to get saved, I can't wait any longer, and I would send someone to pray with them to the inquiry room or to some place there nearby to pray with them and lead them to Jesus. Now, I've had that to happen a few times. But listen, Peter didn't give an invitation. He was still preaching while he yet spake. He was still talking. He was still preaching words, W-O-R-D-S, words. The Holy Ghost fell on all them which joined. No, it doesn't say the Holy Ghost fell on all them which joined. Doesn't say that. Now, you've heard this on the radio. You've read it, and you've heard it in churches, and you've heard it in tents, and you've heard it in tabernacles, and you've heard it in city auditoriums, and you've heard it on the street. You have heard it preached that you must be baptized in water in the name of Jesus to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, I'd like to serve notice on you that Cornelius received the Holy Ghost before he was baptized, and he received the Holy Ghost without walking down a church aisle. Did you know that I have a letter in my files that I received about 5 years ago now? I have a letter in my files where a young minister preached in a Baptist church on Sunday morning, and I won't name the church. I could tell you the state, and I could tell you the church. But he preached that it's impossible for anybody to be saved through a radio program. He said, you must be in a church and you must be saved in a church meeting, in a church. Now, I have that in black and white. Now, listen to me, beloved. There's no excuse for anybody that can read being that ignorant. Now, that's right. I say that in love. There's no excuse for such ignorance as that. I've been immersed in water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. I've been baptized scripturally. I've been put under the water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and I belong to a local church and I support it. Oh, yes, I believe in the local church. I believe in baptism. But Cornelius didn't join. He didn't get baptized to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He heard the word. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. They heard the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, of course, I can't go into this today because I'm speaking primarily about the salvation of Cornelius. Now, these people were baptized, or the Holy Ghost was poured out, it says. Now, let's see. I'll read it to you. Right here it is. Let me read this. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water? Now they're going to be baptized, you see. They heard the word, they believed the word, they received the word, the Holy Ghost came upon them. And then Peter said, now these folks have the Holy Spirit and they've testified and they've given evidence that they do have the Holy Spirit. And he said, can any forbid water that they be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Now, I'm not talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost today. I'm not preaching on that phase of it. Now, if I was, of course, I'd need another 30 minutes to talk about this occasion and this experience that came upon the Gentiles. I don't have time today to do it. Now, let me show you what I want you to see about the message, and then I'll pray, and I hope somebody will be saved. The man in whose home Peter preached was a devout man. Devout. Are you devout? Are you honest, upright? Are you true blue, and you don't drink, you don't cuss, you don't steal, you don't cheat? You don't owe anybody anything. You're a devout man. You fear God. Do you fear God? In other words, you believe God is, and you know that God controls your life, and you know that God could take your life, and you fear God, huh? All right. Do you give money? Do you give money to civic organizations and other organizations that feed the hungry and clothe the naked and put shoes on cold feet in wintertime? You give money. Do you pray? You say your prayers. Well, you still have not taken the one imperative step if you want to go to heaven. You can be devout, honest, upright, true, sincere. You can live clean. You can be just as clean can be, and just as honest can be, and you can give money and pray and still burn in hell when you die. Now, Cornelius was an extraordinary man, above average in every respect. But he was lost. So God sent an angel, and God said, Cornelius, you send and get Simon Peter, and he'll tell you words, W-O-R-D-S. Now, my friend, if you hope to go to heaven, you must hear the word of God. Hear the word. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word. Jesus said that in John 5:24. Jesus said that. He that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, you pass from death unto life when you hear the word of God. Hear the word. Faith comes by hearing, and we're saved by grace, and grace becomes ours by faith. So it's impossible, it is absolutely impossible for any person to be saved apart from hearing the word of God. We're born again through the incorruptible seed, the word. 1 Peter 1:23. Faith comes by hearing, the new, and hearing by the word. The new birth comes through the power of the incorruptible seed, the Word. And Jesus said, He that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, if I can get this across to you, this time will be well spent today. Do you remember a time, any time, sometime, somewhere, you may not remember the date, you attended church or Sunday school or prayer meeting or revival, or you listened to a radio preacher or a street preacher, or you read a gospel tract. You read the Word of God, and the Word of God said the wages of sin is death. Maybe the Word of God said, they that sow to the flesh reap corruption. Maybe the Word of God said, today is the day of salvation. Maybe you read John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Whatever you read, whatever you heard a man preach, you read something, the Word of God. And do you remember a time when the Word convicted you that you need a Savior, and you heard the Word and you received Jesus? Do you remember such an experience? Well, you say, preacher, I've always been a good fella. So was Cornelius. Preacher, I've always been a member of the church. So was Cornelius, a member of religion. You say, I've always supported every good cause. So did Cornelius. You say, Brother Green, we've always had grace at the table, and I've always said my prayers. So did Cornelius. But he was lost. Lost. Just as lost as he could be. And my friend, if you have not, sometime in the past, sometime, I don't know when, maybe you don't know the date, but you remember the experience. You heard the Word. You realized that you were lost. You heard the Word say that God loves you, Jesus died for you. You heard it. You believed it. You received it. And you said in some way or another, you prayed and you said, Jesus, save me, forgive my sins, come into my heart, have mercy on me. You prayed some type of a prayer. Save me, come into my heart, forgive my sins. Can you remember such an experience? Now, if you can't, you'd better get one. There is no such thing as being a child of God and not knowing it. There is no such thing as being a born-again Christian and not knowing it. You may not remember the date. You may not remember the day, whether it was Sunday or Monday or Saturday or Wednesday or Friday. But if you've been saved, you know it. You remember the experience. The day you heard the Word, the day you realized, because of the Word of God, you realized the need of a Savior, and because you heard the Word, you ask God to save you, and God saved you, and you know it. And if you don't know it, I warn you, you'd better have such an experience before you die. And since today is the day of salvation and now is the accepted time, why don't you bow your head and let God save you right now? Father, in the name of Jesus, may every person listening to me who is not saved, or they do not know whether they're saved or not, may they cry out to God, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me for Jesus' sake, and we know you will. Save that soul that's nearest hell for Christ's sake. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green once again, asking you to stay tuned with me for the last few minutes of the broadcast as I tell you about our gift offer for this week, gift offer GG as in green. And that's appropriate because it is a special offer in honor of my father's birthday. He was born on February the 14th, 1915. He was a Valentine's baby. And we like to honor him this time of the year, every year, with a special gift offer. And I think you'll find this is a very special offer. It contains a DVD video, three CDs. One is a musical CD. And all of this is available to you in return for your donation to the Gospel Hour in the amount of $25 or more. Now, please send more if you can, but send at least $25 when you ask for Gift Offer G. Every gift you send is used to keep the program going out over the air. So if you can send a donation of at least $25 and ask for Offer G, I'm going to send you first a CD of music entitled Our Founder's Favorite Hymn. Some of the favorite songs that my mom and I picked out as being my dad's favorites. 14 great songs in all, such as In the Sweet By and By, Amazing Grace, both an instrumental version and a vocal version. Also, Must Jesus Bear the Cross Alone, Jesus Saves, Just as I Am, one of the most used songs by my dad at the altar call, and so on. So 14 songs in all. Then we have a very special autobiography by my dad, From Disgrace to Grace, 124 pages long. It's in three parts, the original by my dad with additions that he added, a retrospective by me of the Gospel Hour going forward, and some photos, very, very great photos. All of this is a wonderful book for you to read about my dad. Then we have From Disgrace to Grace, the DVD and the CD. On the DVD, my dad gives us his autobiography and his testimony in words, and we back that up with beautiful pictures and scripture and so on the video. And we have some interviews also. Then we have the CD of the conversion testimony, so you can listen in your car or otherwise. So, to get all of this great material, the DVD and the CDs, just ask for Gift Offer G and send your gift of at least $25. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.